Take your Bibles, if you would, to Colossians chapter number 4 tonight. Colossians chapter 4. And if you don't mind, would you stand to your feet in honor and respects to the Word of God? Colossians chapter number 4. We'll start in verse number 2. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 2. The Bible says this: continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Now you gotta, don't just read the Bible sometimes, you have to put yourself in the Bible. Paul was in house arrest at Rome, and he's saying pray with thanksgiving. Okay. With all, verse number 3, with all, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Let's pray. Our dear, kind, and heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you that we can come to your house, and Lord, we can share prayer requests, Lord, and burdens, Lord, could be taken to the heavenly throne, and that the heavenly Father is interested in our concerns. Lord, help us to cast all our care upon him. Help us to consider him who hath endured, Lord, for our sakes, Lord, who died on the cross for our sakes. And Lord, we ask that you would speak to hearts. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would fill me with your power, and that you would also fill the listeners, that they would grab hold of the truths found in your word, and it would transform lives, God, and it would make us different for being in church tonight, Lord. We thank you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever locked yourself out of your house? Done that before? If you've done that, would you raise your hand? I would like to see that. Okay, so this is good. We've experienced that. Okay. Have you ever locked yourself out of a car? You've done that before? Let me see your hands. You've locked yourself out of your car. Okay. Now, honestly, how many of you know how to break into your car? You've done that before? I want to see your hands. All right. Just slip your hand up. You know how to break in your car. Wow. Okay. Watch them during the service. Make sure that they're not slipping out in the parking lot checking out people's cars. Now, I want to start off with that illustration because, you know, truthfully, those doors, they can be opened with keys, you know, but some doors are absolutely in God's control. They're in God's hands. And if it weren't for God, those doors would be locked and closed. And here Paul was asking us to pray for him. Asking the Colossian Christians there, pray for him, that God would open a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. I can imagine Paul could have asked for many things. Like I mentioned earlier, he was in house arrest. Lord, could you spring me out of this prison? Could you get me out of jail? Lord, could you send somebody over? Could you change this Caesar's heart? You know, could you get me out of this bind, sort of say, a temporary relief instead of, you know, looking for the advancement of the gospel? I wonder how are you doing in your limited situation? You know, say, well, I don't have resources. I'm limited in what I can do. But if you turn that over to God, see, God can open the doors for you that you cannot open yourself. Now, as Paul was praying this prayer, the gospel was not chained. He was chained, but not the gospel. He was able to speak the gospel to the mob in Jerusalem, to Felix, to King Agrippa, to the Philippian jailer, to the guards, the Praetorian guards of Caesar's household, even the household of Caesar. I mean, he was in chains, but the good news of Jesus Christ is not in chains, and it was advancing, and it was moving forward. Paul talks about three keys in our text tonight, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 to 6. And three keys that are well within our grasp, that I believe if you learn to surrender those things to God, that God could use you. That God would open unto you the door of utterance to speak forth the mystery of Christ. Now, before we get into the three keys we find here, I just want to briefly talk about this mystery of Christ we find in verse number 3. With all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. What is that mystery of Christ? Well, go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 26 real quick. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26 talks about this mystery. Chapter 1, verse 26 says, "Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages, from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." Verse 27, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is," and here is the mystery, here it is, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." Christ in you is the mystery. How could God Almighty dwell in you and me? How could he dwell in our hearts? And yet he does. When you received him as your Savior, he received you into his family. I mean, there's a relationship there. He is in you. And by the way, he is the hope of glory. Now, I may not have an Escalade, but I have hope. I have the hope of glory. One day, I am on my way to heaven. I'll never worry about abiding in darkness or walking or ever facing the condemnation for my sins. I know for sure that Jesus' blood has washed away my sins. I have a hope of glory. I may not have a mansion, but I have a home in heaven, you see. I have something that this old world of sin can never give me. And that's the hope of glory, friend. Christ in me, the mystery. And that is that which Paul is talking about. These keys are well within our grasp so that we could tell others about this hope of glory, the mystery. We can share the good news of Jesus Christ to others if we would yield these three things to him. Let's look at number one, my tongue. Look at verse number 4. Go back to Colossians chapter number 4, verse number 4. The first key that can unlock the door of utterance, friend, is your tongue. Verse number 4 says this, "That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." The word "ought" means necessary. And the word "speak" means to utter a sound. And when you join that "ought" to "speak," there you have the format that God has chosen to utter the mystery of Christ. He wants us to speak forth the mystery of Christ to others. Hey, friend, all you have to do is sow the good news of Jesus Christ. You know what a missionary is? All a missionary is somebody who cares and somebody who goes. That's all a missionary is. And friend, if you're going to care in this community and go in this from this church into this community, then you yourself are doing a missionary work too. Okay, so don't discount yourself and say, "Well, I may not be able to go to the Philippines, but I can go to Jacksonville." So. And I can care for people and I can go and tell them about Jesus. See, ought to speak. It's the formula. It's the first key, your tongue. Look at verse number 6. "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." You know, the honest truth is, you can, if you're not careful how you say things sometimes, they come across wrong. And if there's anything, any message more important than anything else in this world, it's the gospel story of Jesus Christ. Friend, you got to be careful how you talk about Jesus. Don't ever take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Don't do that. Don't lightly use his name. Use something else like Obama or something like that, you know. That would work. That would work. Like, you know, "Oh, Obama." You know, something like that. That's You know, I just taught you something, okay? I just instructed you, okay? That was, something happens. It's, oh, mama, you know? That, it works. But be careful how you say things. You know, you season it with salt. You like pretzels? Amen. You like pretzels? Are pretzel lovers here? Okay, roll gold. I'm talking snack pretzel. I'm not talking about the real, like, Auntie Anne stuff, okay? I'm talking about roll gold, gluten-free, good stuff. I mean, when you bite into it, it snaps. I mean, okay? You know what salt does to you when you partake of a lot of it? You start to get thirsty, right? Now, I want you to know something. God wants us, our speech, to be salty because it'll produce a spiritual thirst in the hearts of those people that you're trying to witness to. You speak forth a Bible verse in a situation. You're sowing the word of God. You know what you're doing? You're salt. You're producing salt there. And pretty soon, you do enough of that, friend, they're going to come and ask you what's different about you. You're going to produce that spiritual thirst in them. They're going to be like, oh, man, why are you so different? Everybody else is complaining. Here you are quoting scripture. Hey, I'm telling you something. You're going to produce that spiritual thirst. When trouble comes, they'll know who to run to. You see? My tongue is important. You know, in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17, I'll just read it to you. It says here, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest, listen to this, thou givest him not warning. You don't warn the wicked man. Nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. It is our responsibility. We are responsible before God. If you've received the good news of Jesus Christ, I'll guarantee you have an automatic responsibility to tell somebody else about that good news of Jesus Christ. If he could save you, he could save anybody, friend. See? Now, I want you to know something. We're responsible to say. We're responsible to tell. But we are not responsible for how they're going to receive it. Verse 19 says, Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. You see, we're responsible to tell. They are responsible to receive. Now, I get a little agitated because I like to imagine that every time I preach, a soul's going to get saved. I anticipate that. As a sower of the word of God, I look for a harvest, you see. I'm interested in those things. But I had to learn something, preacher. I had to learn that if nobody got saved and I did what I should and I did what I could, that I need to cast that care before the Lord. Otherwise, that concern can turn to sin, you see. But our responsibility is to say, and if after we have done that which we are required to do, it is up to God to do the saving, you see. But we are responsible to say and to proclaim it with our tongue. Will you yield your tongue to sow the gospel unto somebody? Look, you don't have to be fancy about it. Even in conversation, you can just easily say, hey, I want you to know something. You know, I know we're busy, we're doing our thing here, but I want you to know something. Jesus died on the cross for you. There is a way that your sins can be forgiven. There is a way you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. And it's not the church. It's Jesus Christ. Now, I'll tell you something. You sow that, and God's going to bless it. Because that's what he says in his word. Number two, the second key is in verse number 5. My testimony. My tongue first, then my testimony. Verse number 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Listen to this. What we are gives power to what we say. How we behave gives power to what we say. We have something this world doesn't have. It's called salvation. But if we don't comport ourselves as Christians in this wicked world, we're going to do damage to the cause of Christ. And see, the cause of Christ is the main thing. Not our agenda, not our wills, not our desire, not our ambition. It is His cause. The saving of souls is very important to God. And how you walk, friend, can either amplify the good news of Jesus Christ, or it can awfully deflect the good news of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. What's your personal testimony like? When people call out your name, what do they think of? What do they think about? That's your personal testimony. Guard your personal testimony, young people. This is why we're very careful, and this is the reason why we have standards. We don't have standards, you know, for no good reason. We're trying to protect the cause of Jesus Christ. That's why. That's why. Does your life match your words? Does your life match the songs that you sing? Moms and dads, you can easily undo what your Sunday school teacher had taught your children in a few seconds by living wrong at home, you see. Undo. And young people are looking for the real thing. That's one thing about teenagers that I love. You know what I like teenagers for? I like them because they're real. What you see is what you get. They don't know how to put on yet, you know. They're looking for the real thing. And if they don't see the real thing at home, they get discouraged. Then they begin to idolize or look for something else because they're looking for attention. They want it. They need to see the real thing at home. Last, and that's your testimony, all right? Last key, verse number 5, the last half of that says, redeeming the time. My tongue, my testimony, and my time. Redeeming the time. Redeeming means to buy back. Well, preacher, how do you buy back time? How could you possibly do that? In a few minutes, we'll be done with the service. We'll be home, you know, everybody will be home and everything. Some of you need to hitch a ride, you know. Maybe, I don't know how you got here. I got here by looking for that blessed hope. Woo, was I driving? I was driving the GPS. You know what it stands for? Guiding people stupidly. I'm driving like I'm looking for that blessed hope. But we made it. Amen. We made it. But how do you buy back time? How can you do that? Once the time is spent, it's over. You can't necessarily get it back. How do you do that, preacher? Well, I want you to know something. I thank God that as a missionary, I'm partners with Jesus Christ. Because there's something about Jesus that when you give Him your limited resources, He's able to feed the 5,000 with a few loaves of fishes. And He's able to do that again for the 4,000. There's something about Jesus that if you're broken and you're limited, and if you go to Him, He'll stretch it and He'll make miracles out of things. I'm partner with Him. I'm thankful for that because I'll tell you something. Even though I'm at 65%, even if I was at 100%, if I'm not partner with Jesus Christ, I can do nothing. And even if I had just a few percentage point, if I have Him, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, friend. How do you buy back time? I'm going to tell you something. This is how you buy it back. Listen closely, friend. Whatever time you have left, you give it over to Jesus Christ 100%. He'll do more in that limited time than you can ever do in your own flesh. That's how you redeem time. Stop playing. Stop pretending. Stop goofing. I love to have fun. I'm not talking about fun goof, okay? I'm talking about living a hypocrite life. Playing church. Looking good, but not being good. Okay? You quit all that. You say, Lord, I only have so much time. In your hands, you can do that which is impossible, and I want to give that over to you. Friend, that's the only way you'll redeem time. You know that whatever time you give Jesus, you'll never lose. Oh, I look forward to the time I get to the Philippines and tell somebody about the good news of Jesus Christ. And when the Lord saves them and they get saved, they'll be saved forever. And for all eternity, they'll say, glory to God, holy, holy, holy. They'll join the heavenly choir in the sky. Would you examine yourself tonight in the light of God's holy word, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 and 6? How are you doing in those three areas, by the way? Your tongue, are you using it wisely? Your testimony, you need to build that up? Did you tear it down? Did Satan get a hold of that and ruined your testimony? I want you to know something. It's so critical. It takes a lifetime to build a good name and seconds to destroy that name. How's your testimony? And third, your time. Will you yield that over to him? I'll tell you what, you yield those three things, and he'll open a great door of utterance for you, friend, to speak the mystery of Christ.